Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the 13th Man Show. I'm Brian Duchesne. Sterling Brown will be joining us on the phone later, but I'm going to take a caller. We actually have two callers calling in right now at the same time. It's Chris and Nick calling from the Bay Area. Chris and Nick, hello.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing what we normally do, which is, I don't know, driving in the Bay Area. That's all we do. We just drive in circles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's always the best with all those hills there, too, right?
Oh, man. It's the best.
All right. So the first question I guess I'm going to ask you guys, what do you guys think about the NFL replacement officials? They've been criticized a lot by a lot of football fans. The coaches don't like them. The players have expressed their disbelief in the NFL hiring these replacement officials. What do you guys think of the NFL hiring these replacement officials, and do you think it's a big problem in the NFL?
Well, you know, you got preschool teachers trying to teach college. It just doesn't really work, and I feel like that's what's happening here.
I don't know if a professor can be called up from preschool, because that would sound a little weird, being Professor Nancy or whatever they call the preschool teachers.
Exactly. Professor Preschooler.
Exactly. Look, here's what I think. I think the NFL really doesn't care too much. They know there's always going to be demand for football. So they're not giving their referee, the union, you know, the right deal. They don't care. They'll call out whoever they want, and it's a mess. And it's sad because you're watching a game that needs to have people who know, you know, who know what they're doing, can keep control, know the intricacies of professional level sports. And these guys are, you know, they're doing the best they can, but you know, I feel like it's a bit of the Roman Coliseum. You know, they're just throwing them to the wolves and like, good luck. Because, you know,
yeah,
they really don't care. It's sad to see, you know, one of our favorite sports, you know, get a little politicized and get, you know, peed on.
And it's important to see, too, the loss of control that the refs are having, and the, you know, the way the players are playing. Like, half of them are just saying, screw it, let's play dirty, and whatever. The other half are just, you know, kind of caught up in the mess, trying to still play the game properly, but, you know, just being held back by these refs, the situation.
Yeah, it's frustrating to watch, because, you know, coaches are trying to figure out, okay, well, what's legal, what's not legal, where can we push it, where can we not push it, and, you know, you see dirty plays happening, you see players actually manhandling refs and stuff like that, and it's just frustrating, you know. I think it's just, what it really is a lack of control in a game that's all about, you know, blowing people apart and watching amazing plays, and you need that level of sophistication and control in terms of the referee, you know, and they've already, you know, there's already bad calls being made regularly. So now it's just like, what is happening?
Yeah, completely confusing.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw the NFL lockout last year, how nobody thought they were going to play, and then all of a sudden the collective bargaining agreement got agreed on. The players came out and played. We had the officials last year, so that was good. We got everything under control. But now this year, it wasn't even a thought on the lockout this year, because the collective bargaining agreement went through this year, and in future years, I think it was like a 5-year deal or something like that. But now the refs are the ones being locked out, and I think that's a big problem.
Totally.
Yeah, it is a bit of a double standard. You know, you see, you know, where they're like, oh, we're going to be really serious about this situation, and we're going to crush, you know, New Orleans for what was happening out there. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, we don't really care about the referees or what. You know, so it's like this weird double standard that's always being played. Kind of, you know, it leaves the fans and the actual players of the game, I think, shortchanged a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you guys big 49ers fans over there, or what team is your prime team?
Yeah, 49ers.
Since, for better or for worse, we grew up in the Bay, and, you know, we grew up at the tail end of the Montana era.
We grew up, yeah, with Montana and Rice, and then Young and Rice, and so, you know, we started off strong in terms of our fanhood. I don't know about now.
Yeah, it's been a long decade. I actually, in 2005, for a year, hosted a show called the 49er Kickoff Party. It was right when they drafted Alex Smith, and so there was a lot of excitement, and then, you know, we obviously went into the great drought that has been the last, you know, 6-7 years. But I think, you know, Smith is looking great under Harbaugh. They really proved himself last year, and he's
You know, I mean, he stuck around. I think he's had some chances to leave, and the city doesn't like him that much. I was definitely one of the haters, but I've turned into a believer, and he's doing good. I mean, he's got some guys out there that can make some plays. You know, watching him, you know, play against Green Bay recently, and it was really cool to see. So, you know, he's been able to manage to, you know, in the pocket and make some plays. It's been nice.
Yeah, unfortunately, he did have a good game last week against my Detroit Lions. I was hoping the Lions could come out and pound your Niners. But, you know, I think the thing I wanted to see at the end of that game, I wanted to see another fight between the coaches. What do you guys think?
I think everyone was waiting just for the guys.
Just for the coaches. Oh, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they worked out their issues, and they just had a nice handshake and pat on the back at the end of the game. Wasn't as epic as we had thought, but
that was spectacular.
Yeah,
that was the better of the two situations. It didn't make for a fun TV.
Yeah, and then let's see. Do you guys watch baseball at all? Are you big San Francisco Giants fans?
It's kind of one of those things. Baseball, I think, grew up loving it, playing it, but watching it's a different story. I feel like watching football is kind of a more engaging experience, but the Giants are definitely our team for sure.
So
they're doing really good right now, you know.
Yeah, they really are,
which is exciting. And I actually took my wife to a Braves game on her birthday, and they lost. So I was like, "Happy birthday, honey!"
Happy birthday! It's one of the few Giants losses.
Yeah. So it's good to see. I mean, good to see them come together. You know, after that. After they won the World Series, they had, like, I think everyone got injured in every position.
And then you have Melky.
Came back. Posey won, what was that, the award that he just recently won?
Okay,
most inspirational player, something like that?
Yeah. He's a solid little dude, man. He's always out there. He's making plays. He's, you know, he's getting on base. He's, you know, he's waking up fast, doing what he needs to do. And
he's solid. He's pretty solid. I like it.
Yeah.
And then... Well, you got Melky Cabrera, who just got suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. How disappointed were you guys when you saw that he got suspended?
I mean, you know, it's always frustrating. I always feel like it's not, unfortunately, in that sport, the pressure for a player to, you know, I mean, we now actually know the number, the speed of the pitch. You know what I mean? It's all about the power and the numbers, and I think a lot of people get seduced into making, they're trying to, you know, make the best they can with what they've got, and so they make mistakes, and I feel like he's just one of many that got caught, you know?
Yeah, I got caught worrying more about, like Chris was saying, about the numbers and the power versus actually just playing the game well. So it's a bummer.
Yeah, definitely. And then how surprised are you by Tim Lincecum's performance this year? Everyone thought he was going to come out with an ERA under 3, and his ERA was actually over 6. So how do you guys react to that when you saw Tim Lincecum's performance?
Oh, man, the trials of Timmy. I don't know, man. It's been a little, it's sad, you know? I mean, you see these guys, you know, he's been a Cy Young Award winner. I mean, the kid's just, he's crazy. And this year, I don't know. I mean, the big joke is he just smoked too much weed, obviously. It's just, you know, it's always rough to see these guys that, you know, play their whole lives, and then, you know, they start having seasons like this where you're like, I don't know if you're going to make it out of this, you know?
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's a bummer.
Yeah,
but,
I just feel for the guy. I mean, it's frustrating to see what's happening. He's out there throwing like that, but I think, you know, as a genuine fan of the sport and of the team, you feel bad for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's tough to watch him, and it's also tough to see fantasy baseball players who got all excited drafting him in like the first and second rounds, and all of a sudden he comes out and just, I don't know, he just failed, and it was awful. But
I know he was claiming, or people were claiming that he's trying some new pitching style for a while. I don't know, you know, I don't follow it that intensive enough that's actually grounded in truth or not, but it's tough to see, man.
Yeah, I think he did adjust his pitching motion as the year was going on. They were trying to work on his velocity, try to work on his delivery, and he's just really inconsistent regardless of his delivery this year. So I'm thinking maybe next year he'll come out and he will be a better fit for the San Francisco 49ers. He'll be their quarterback. He'll take over Alex Smith's role.
No, I feel like there would be a handful, probably more than that, of guys that would actually be happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, why not put Tim Lincecum as quarterback as the 49ers? Maybe even a backup or maybe even a third string. I don't know. Like, I'd give him a chance.
Who knows?
But I think Tim Lincecum should have a good year next year in all seriousness. As long as he works out in the offseason, he keeps all of his, you know, his performance, gets it under control. He works with the pitching coach. He stays in the weight room. I think that's, like, the main thing that he needs to just keep it up, and he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine as a Giants pitcher next year.
I mean, he's obviously a talented pitcher. It's just something's going on.
And I think, like, you know, a lot of, like, Hollywood sports loves a good comeback story. So, unfortunately for him, it's obviously a very humbling season, but for him, he could take some motivation and does it, and, you know, comes back at the level that he has been. I think everyone will really rally around that.
Okay, and then at what point does he get a haircut and just cut his hair super short?
Right? Well, I mean, at some point, I mean, didn't he chop his hair a little bit this year, and then he started pitching really bad? So it's like, I don't know. He loses the hair, he loses the pitch. Maybe he shouldn't touch his hair. I don't know. Yeah. Just kind of like put castor oil in it and just make it really long and greasy.
Yeah, maybe that's what his key to success was. Maybe his hair was just always super long and greasy, and, you know, maybe hitters got distracted looking at him. Or maybe he was head and shoulders like Troy Polamalu does. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, do you guys have anything else to add on any sports topic that you guys want to cover?
I don't know. Not
that I can think of. I mean, I feel like,
I seriously like the Baltimore Ravens as well, and not just because the two Harbaugh brothers coaching it. I've been following them as well, so excited to see what they'll do this year.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think we're Saturday afternoon fair weather college fans just like to see the college football fans like to see the ball going around. I'm not really that hardcore into college football, but I love it.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun to watch. All right, well, thanks for being on the show today. It was good to have two callers at the same time.
Sure, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, there they are, Chris and Nick, calling from the Bay Area, a.k.a. the Brothers Rydell, if you want to check out their YouTube channel. They post YouTube videos every Wednesday. It's a comedy channel. I'd say go check it out. And we appreciate them calling in with their busy lives, taking some time out from their videos, all their hard work, to call in and be on the 13th Man Show. But guess who just walked into the studio? Steffi Wheeler, our manager of the 13th Man Show. Hello, Steffi.
Hello. How are all the listeners out there doing today? Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I think the listeners are doing real well.
Yeah. All 10 of them?
350 of them.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you know it. How's the traffic coming over here, by the way? Was it good?
It was gnarly. Like, I was cruising up from Tacoma and then get to Seattle, and then it took me, like, half an hour, I would say, like, once I was in Seattle.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, on a Saturday afternoon, why is there so much traffic?
I don't know. Is the Mariners game here today?
I believe it is.
Okay, that might be a factor. And I know the Sounders game is today because we'll be there.
Yeah, we will be there, unfortunately. But, I mean, I like the Sounders. I'm not really a big soccer fan, but...
Sounders rule!
Yeah, it's a Seattle team, so you got to show your support. Mm-hmm. But we are going to get Sterling Brown live on the phone since he couldn't be in studio.
Oh, yay.
All right, we got Sterling Brown live on the phone right now, and let's talk some Wazoo football. I know Sterling, a big Huskies fan. He went to UW. He played sports at UW, but unfortunately, we are going to talk about the Wazoo Cougars, who currently are up 21-7 on the Colorado Buffaloes. Sterling, what is your take on Wazoo football?
Thanks for having me on the show, Brian and Steffi.
Hi, I miss you.
Yes. As I look at the ESPN.com college football breakdown of the game so far, I see that, you know, the Cougars are playing at Martin Stadium in Pullman, Washington. It seems like they're definitely passing the ball well, already 7 receivers with receptions. They're up on the Buffaloes, who are 0-3, and definitely a game they should win. Now, it looks like to me, with only 30 rushing yards, that Coach Leach is getting into his groove with the offense. They have 1 interception, but it looks like it was thrown on a running back pass or receiver pass, because Halliday, who is starting for Tool, I don't know why.
Because Tool sucks and Halliday rocks.
Did Halliday win the job, or is Tool injured?
I don't think he might be injured. He gets injured all the time, but Halliday came in last week and played way better than Tool did in either of the games.
Yeah, I mean, he's 10 for 13, 130 yards, a touchdown. Definitely looks like he knows what he's doing in there.
All right, but
this should be an easy one for Washington State. I predict they pull away in the second and third quarter, end up winning, I'd say 38-17.
Well, I hope that you're right.
I mean, you have to say they're 21-7, correct?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
let's
14-7. So.
Let's keep in mind, though, the Colorado Buffaloes last week lost to Fresno State 69-7, and Fresno State is not even a good team.
That's what I'm saying.
So how do you think Wazoo compares to UW right now? Do you think UW is a way better program? Do you think UW is going to make a bowl game? What's your take on that?
You know, I hope they both do well. If the Huskies and the Cougars are doing well, it's a good look for Washington football, Washington athletics, and everything. I would, you know, Sarkisian's been there a few years. He's been able to build what he thinks is a great team, definitely get his recruits. The Huskies have no excuse to not be better than the Cougs, who were, 10-42 under their last coach, Paul Wolf,
Paul
I think
Wolf.
It was.
Yeah.
So, I think they both suffer from having weaker O-lines and defensive lines against the good teams, and that's what really separates them. I mean, the Huskies have great skill players. Kaysen Williams, obviously, Keith Price, and we're missing Polk right now, but I heard he's doing pretty well for the Eagles, actually.
Yeah.
It'd be good to get some big guys up front who can, you know, keep the quarterback from getting sacked or open some holes for the running backs and defense that can pressure quarterbacks, because if you want to be a team that, you know, makes it to the BCS, you've got to have those things. And that's what our counterparts are, you know, Oregon, Stanford, USD. That's really the only difference between the top and the bottom of the Pac-12 is your own defensive lines. So I think that, you know, I would like to see them both make bowl games. The Cougs' schedule, if they can get 6 wins, that would be huge for them. Huskies expect to get, you know, 10 wins. That's nearly impossible. But they should make a solid bowl game, maybe back at the Alamo Bowl again.
All right, so you have to rank 3 of the top teams in the Pac-12, that being Oregon, USC, and Stanford. Who do you place where, or is it another team that you would put in the top 3?
Well, I definitely know that UCLA is overranked. They are losing right now to Oregon State, and I was surprised to see them ranked at 19th.
Yeah.
Here's my list of the Pac-12 standings. Stanford has a running back named Stephen something, who is nice with it. He ran all over SC, but SC was missing a couple people last week also. But I would have to go Stanford, Oregon, SC for now.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, that's just how it is.
Interesting.
Actually, I might go Oregon, Stanford.
That's what I was going to say, but I guess
we'll
see.
Why do you guys have Stanford or Oregon above Stanford?
Why do we have Oregon over Stanford?
They're pretty good. D'Anthony Thomas.
Yeah, they're defending.
They've beaten Arkansas State, Fresno State and Tennessee Tech. I mean, they haven't played
anybody
but yet.
They're defending Rose Bowl and Pac-12 champs from last year, and I think they're going to be looking good once they start in the Pac-12 play.
Trust me, I'm not
well,
Oregon fan.
Stanford plays Oregon November 17th. That should be another game we cover, too, because that's going to be – what is this commercial talking about? Oh, Home Depot. Shout out to Home Depot. We all love them.
Oh, yeah, you know
we
it.
We get Home Depot to sponsor us after saying that.
Yeah, that's the...
They got the money for it. They can afford us. They're sponsoring
they
college football.
They owe us some money now.
Pre-game shows already. Oregon right now is...
They're number three, right?
They got it going on. I'm not saying they don't. I'd really like to see Stanford beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I want to see the Ducks win. I just think they're probably the best bet in the Pac-12 if I had to place all my money and my life savings on a bet in Vegas, I would go with Oregon, but that's just me. I don't know.
I would never do that.
I wouldn't either. I'm just saying if I had to.
That's a lot of money, Duquesne. We know you're sitting on mills over there, pockets on swole.
Yeah, I actually think about
that. All the hours you're clocking, so.
Oh, you know what it is. 23 sitting on 23 mil.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice one. Hey, guys, I'm really enjoying the show. Give me some, give me a dance I can do to help you guys out, or... Let me ask you guys a question.
All right,
go ahead.
Let's go.
What's your prediction for the Colorado-Wazoo game? Scores.
Oh, man. I'm going to give... I'll say
50... Do you think Wazoo can put up 38 points like I threw out there a second ago?
I'm going to say like 50.
I'm liking Halliday, man. It seems like he's 10 for 13 right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Colorado scored a touchdown. I don't really know if we can... count them out from scoring again, as sad as it is to say as a Coug. I mean, I don't know. They've been playing better.
If they let them score a touchdown and a field goal more,
yeah.
It could be 38-17. I'm more concerned with can Wazoo put up 38 points.
Okay, there's only, 11? There's 11:48 to go, and it's only the second quarter. I say Wazoo puts up 50.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50-14 is my final score.
Wow.
I'm
going like to
say, I would say 17 for Colorado, and then I think that the Cougs will get 40 points, maybe a little more, but I'm saying in the 40s range.
40 they can do 17. It. They can do it. I mean, I'm sure Leach is going to have them hyped up when they come out of the tunnel after halftime. Real excited, really, really confident.
Yeah, but are they running out of steam?
That's my reservation too. I mean, they need to blow them out for their morale and their for the fans. It's a home game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you try a halfback pass or whatever, and it ended up being an interception, buzzkill. the fans are starting to sober up a little bit. You need to come with some big plays.
There's
second half, Leach.
Sterling, we're talking about Wazoo
yeah,
here. The fans never sober up.
Serving alcohol.
They're serving alcohol at
Martin Stadium now. So now people can actually buy alcohol in the stadium.
Oh, man, that is dangerous.
That's wrong.
Of course it's Wazoo.
Yeah, it's the Vegas of Washington State, Wazoo.
It looked like Halliday threw a pick recently, so he's got one pick himself.
Huh.
No good there.
I have a question for you, Sterling.
Of course.
What do you think is going to happen Monday with the Seahawks and the Packers?
That is, of course, I don't think anybody can beat the Seahawks at home. I mean, you saw how we just trampled over the Kardashians last week. NFL Kardashians being
the
Cowboys.
The NFL Kardashians?
Yeah, I guess Steffi wasn't here for week one, was she?
It's too much drama. They got good players, but they don't really... They seem more concerned with other things. I don't know.
Romo
is an egg mentally. He'll crack. He's proven it before. He knows what happened last time he came to CenturyLink or one of his quests. But talking about this Monday, the number to remember is 6. Clay Matthews has 6 sacks so far this season.
Which is 5.5 more
six,
than Bruce Irvin.
6 is double anybody else has in the league right now. The closest person has 3, I don't know who it is. And Matthews not doing State Farm commercials, just like his counterparts, Rogers, and show me what you got, Raji. I'm going to get to that commercial.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got Cedric Benson rushing for him, though. That's a good pickup from there.
I'm not convinced on Cedric Benson, though. Do you think he's actually going to be able to run successfully against the Seahawks?
Well, he's got 29 for 99, 3.4 average so far. I mean, he's not doing it huge. They don't count him to do it big. Seems like he's their blind short yards guy. But we have to stop Clay Matthews from sacking Russell Wilson. Our line's a little questionable right now, but Pete Carroll said he's going to work on getting the running backs blocking more this week and whatever we can do to stop them, because I'm a defensive-minded person. I would take the best defensive player over the best offensive player any day, because I just hate getting scored on. But the other side of that is you have to be able to stop a defense also. Mm-hmm. So when we have, you know, we can have the greatest defense in the world, but if other defenses are killing us, then it's kind of canceled each other out. So we need to get this offense rolling here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too concerned with Russell Wilson. I think he's athletically, he's just as good as any quarterback that the Packers are going to face this season. Is he going to be able to avoid Charles Woodson out there, throwing him picks, because Woodson's going to be all over him? I'm sure that they're planning on being all over Russell, like showing him new schemes, you know, welcoming him to the NFL, so to speak, with, you know, zone blitzes and, you know, just schemes that he probably hasn't seen before. But I'm sure Russell is wearing Levi's, watching film right now. He's getting mentally prepared for the game, and I can't doubt the guy. He's put us in the position to win every week, and we were 1-1, and so are the Packers. I don't know how many sacks we're gonna get. We need sacks. That's another problem of ours the last couple of weeks. We haven't really been bringing the sacks like we need to. I don't know if we had any against Arizona, and I think we snagged a couple on Romo, but he just like fell a couple times. This is,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
I need to leave that out. My prediction is Seahawks win 24-17. It's going to be a close one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I could see that.
What do you guys think?
I'll give it 28-24, Seahawks win.
Oh, nice. What about you, Steffi?
I would say 21 or 24 Seahawks, and then 14 Packers.
Nice.
All right.
Well, we're all hometown fans. We all predicted them to win, obviously.
You know it.
I think we all are pretty accurate with the scoring, because I do not see it being a high-scoring game at all. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a 17-13 game, or like a, you know, a lower-scoring win, because both these teams going to be bringing it all they got for a Monday night.
Yeah. All right, well, that just about wraps it up for the Seahawks-Packers matchup. But, Sterling, it was good talking to you. We'll catch up with you later, get some predictions later on this week. We'll do some segments, post it to our Facebook page, and our Facebook page managed by our manager, Steffi Wheeler, over here.
Yeah, check it out.
Where you guys got on the Sounders tonight?
We're heading there right now.
Oh, yeah.
Where do they play, you know?
I should know this.
Are we an opportunity to, you know, win the MLS Cup?
Yeah.
They're looking pretty good.
Yeah, we're pretty much guaranteed to be in the playoffs at this point. So as long as something completely crazy doesn't happen. We're playing San Jose tonight. So.
San Jose, okay.
Yep.
The Earthquakes. Is that who it is?
Uh-huh. Not the, what is it? What did our lovely boss say? The Kansas City Sporting.
Yeah, Kansas City Sporting, a.k.a. Sporting Kansas City.
Oh, that's one for the books.
Oh, it is.
And he said it twice.
Yeah, he did. All right, well, Sterling, we'll be in touch. Thanks for being on the show via phone, since you weren't able to make it to the studio. We appreciate you being on the show anyway.
Thank you for the call and for having me. You all have a great evening.
All right.
Bye,
sounds
Craig.
Good. Catch you later.
Thank you.
So there is the co-host, Sterling Brown. 520 was closed today. He lives in Kirkland. That's a little bit of an issue. He wasn't able to make it to the studio since the city of Seattle decided to close 520. So not his fault. He wasn't able to make it. But we're glad to have him on the phone. He's
yeah,
a valuable part of our show. So
yes, loves him.
Wherever we can get him, we're going to get him on the show. And, Steffi, let's talk about the NHL lockout right now. Do you care about the NHL lockout? What do you think about that?
You know, I'm not the hugest hockey fan. I mainly just like Seattle-based teams, so I don't pay too much attention. However, I am really, really looking forward to getting an NHL team, hopefully in the near future. Things are going really well with the arena deal, so I am excited, and I think that I will definitely be more interested in hockey once, you know, Seattle gets their own team.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those sports that if you don't really like a team or you don't have a favorite team, it's going to be hard to watch the game because I'm a diehard Detroit Red Wings fan. I love to follow them. That's why it's fun for me. But then again, when you're not really into hockey and then you try to follow it and you can't pick a team, that makes it a little bit tough. But then once Seattle gets a team, then you're going to become a fan.
Oh,
then you're going to follow that team. It's going to be awesome if we get one.
I'm going to be all about it. What do they call the, like, puck girls that are really into it?
Oh, the ice girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Those girls that are obsessed with hockey. I'll become one of them.
Oh, cool. So are you going to, like, work for the Seattle team? Be, like, one of those girls that skates around and sweeps the ice a little bit?
I could see myself falling flat on my face. I'm, like, not a strong skater, but maybe I could practice.
Oh, great. So then we'd have you go out to, like, wipe the ice, and you just wipe out.
Yeah.
And then
I'd be like, hi, Brian, like, waving, and then I'd lose my footing and just fall flat on my butt.
Anyways.
What do you think about the lockout?
I hate the NHL lockout because I look forward to hockey every year. They had an NHL lockout a few years ago. They didn't play, and yet again, they're locked out again. So they're just going to skip two seasons in the last five.
Why can't they just figure it out? What's the dealio?
Because they have that little thing called the collective bargaining agreement where the owners have to agree with the players, and the players have to settle with the owners how much they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I don't know, it's stupid that pro athletes and millionaires are arguing over money because it's like they're getting $2 million, probably even like not very big players make at least $1 million in the NHL, and they're arguing over money. These billionaires and multimillionaires that are owning these franchises, they don't want to settle with the players to give them the money. It's not like they don't have the money to pay them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of frustrating to watch that happen, just like we saw in the NBA lockout, the NFL lockout. I think it's just really stupid, I think, when pro sports go on strike and lock themselves out and whatever else.
I agree, because, I mean, it's mainly hurting the fans and, you know, the people that they say they're so dedicated to, and then they don't, you know, agree, and then we're the ones that suffer.
Yeah, exactly, and they're multi-million dollar industries, too, so they're losing money by not having a season, and they're just making themselves look like fools.
Exactly.
But moving on from that, we have a segment. Deshaun, actually, we met him at Touchdown City last Sunday. We're able to catch up with him at the Brain Cancer Walk. Here's what Deshaun had to say, big-time sports fan, down at the Brain Cancer Walk, talk some sports with him. So here's what Deshaun had to say in this segment. All right, Deshaun, let's talk some baseball right now. What kind of teams are you looking forward to watching in this playoff race? Playoff race starting to heat up, 10 more days in the season. There's some very good races going on in the NL, the AL, both wild cards looking good. Who are you most excited to see, and what playoff race are you most excited to follow?
I'm most excited to see the Tigers play if they get there, but it'll take a lot of games to make them get there, and plus, they can't have any players that go on the injured list.
Yeah, that's true. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Miguel Cabrera, the Triple Crown, how he could maybe win it for the first time since the 1960s. That'd be awesome if he could do that. But also, they got to stay healthy, like you said. We've got 10 more games in the regular season. They're 1.5 back of the White Sox. The good news, the White Sox left 5 games against good teams. Detroit playing all teams under 500. So if, say, Detroit makes it, who would you least want Detroit to play in the first round if they were to make it?
I think I wanted them to least play is Houston Astros, Indians, or Cincinnati Reds.
So you like the Astros, you like the Reds. Are those some of your favorite teams, the Reds, the Astros, the Tigers? Are those just a few?
No, yeah, well, that's just a few. And I hope if Jim Leland can make the lineup good and all that, then they'll prevail. Because you can't have any players out because you don't know how crucial they'll be to the team.
Yeah, like you said, Jim Leland, he's got to set that lineup. He's got to put the right lineup out there all the time. What do you think of Jim Leland? Did you watch the Tigers before Jim Leland was a manager, or when did you become a big Tigers fan?
I've been all along because I've been watching them for a few years. Not a few years, but every time they're on television.
So do you like the job that Jim Leland is doing in Detroit right now?
Yeah, well, they just have to get the players acclimated to the system.
So I think we talked about this earlier. You're a big Miguel Cabrera, you're a big Prince Fielder fan. Did they pay too much to get these guys and sign them to the roster? Did they sacrifice too much in their bullpen? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think they paid too much money because you don't know what the market has, and you don't want to waste the market money or you'll be stuck.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, my dad, he thinks they spent way too much money on these guys. He's not a fan of the signings. I personally like it. You add power to your lineup. They lost Victor Martinez. If they get him back for next year, I think they're going to be looking pretty good if he follows Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera. But I think they're both great players. I don't think you can pay too much money for those guys. They're both producing. They're both making their money. Moving on from some baseball right now, what other sports do you follow? Do you follow NBA? Do you follow the NHL at all? Or what else do you watch?
I watch NBA, but I don't really follow NHL because that's not my type of playing sport. I like sometimes soccer if I can catch the games, and sometimes football. But
that's awesome. You know, soccer, a lot of people in Seattle love their Seattle Sounders. Me personally, I'm a big hockey fan, but I'm a Pistons, I'm a Red Wings fan. I'm not really into the soccer thing, but you living in the Seattle area, a lot of people love soccer, so I got to respect that. What's your favorite NBA team? You said you watch it a little bit. I'm not a big fan of the NBA personally. I like the Pistons, though, when I watch the NBA. Who's your go-to team in the NBA?
Well, I'm not going to be really sure at the start of it, but the team I want to follow is the Celtics.
Ooh, got to pick the Pistons' biggest rival to root for, huh? Going against my team, rooting for the Celtics. I like it. A little bit of competition here. Let's do a little segment here. I'm gonna put you on the hot seat right now. I'm going to ask you to pick 3 people that you have to pick for your football team. It has to be 1 receiver, 1 running back, 1 quarterback. Who do you think are the 3 best at those positions right now? So pick a quarterback, a running back, and a receiver that you have to have on your team.
Russell Wilson, quarterback. Sidney Rice, the receiver. Marshawn Lynch, the running back.
So you think the Seahawks have got it all figured out? You like the Seahawks players. Those are your 3 go-tos from the league?
Yeah, well, if they get this winning streak going, they'll make it as far as they can if they win, but they have to adapt to different defenses.
That is true, and they're going to be facing some good defenses. We saw what the Packers could do in the first 2 weeks. They looked real good last week. How do you think the Seahawks are going to match up against the Packers? Do you think Russell Wilson will be able to destroy the Packers' defense?
Yeah, well, if he doesn't get sacked a lot, that's the key. Because Yesel has to have a good linebacking core, receiving core, offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, that is correct. And we see Bruce Irvin, the first-round pick, really trying to step up. He's the linebacker for the Seahawks that they went out, and it was kind of a surprising pick. What did you think of that pick, Deshaun? Did you like the signing of Bruce Irvin, the drafting of Bruce Irvin at such a high pick? Do you think they should have taken someone else, or do you like it?
we can't really tell until Monday night, because the Packers is going to be the Seahawks' biggest test.
That's true. So I think if Bruce Irvin comes out, he has 2.5 sacks. I think that'll be fun to watch. And like you said, if he comes out and performs during primetime, he's going to have a lot more fans than he did on draft day, because a lot of people weren't happy with the signing. But like you said, he comes out on Monday, he performs, he's going to get a big fan base. A lot of people are going to jump on that Bruce Irvin bandwagon. All right, well, I think that just about wraps it up here from the Seattle Brain Cancer Walk. I want to thank Deshaun for being on the show today. And Deshaun, if you have anything else to add, you can just go ahead and shout it out right now. If not, then we will just wrap it up. You got anything else to say?
No, not really.
All right, well, go Seahawks, and thank you for being on the show today.
Signing out.
And we thank Deshaun for being on the show today. When we met him at Touchdown City, he was enthusiastic, saying he was interested in radio. He wanted to be on our show. So it was great having him on the show. It's always great to have a big sports fan on the show who really knows his topics, knows what he's talking about, and he's also a Detroit Tigers fan, and that is great to have because not a lot of Detroit Tigers fans around the Seattle area besides myself.
Yeah, I think we're just going to wrap it up for today, but I want everybody to check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/the13thman show. So.
And then Twitter is @ The 13th Man Show?
Yep, and tweet us any questions or comments, anything that you want our host to talk about on the show. We really appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, and then if you want to tweet me, it's @ The Real BDZ5, so @ The Real BDEEZY, number 5. Sterling is @ Swap It Out, and then you have Steffi @ Steffi Wheeler. So go ahead, blow up our Twitter accounts. Ask us sports questions, ask us entertainment questions. Mm-hmm. We don't really care. We'll answer just about anything you want to ask to a certain extent.
Yeah, nothing too creepy, but.
Anyways, we thank you for tuning in today. We will catch you next week. This is the 13th Man Show. See you later.